Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos. Hello and welcome to episode number 99 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. I hope you're all well out there on this freezing cold lockdown day. Firstly, happy 2021 to everyone. And what a bonkers 2021 it started, thanks to old President Bonkers himself. It looks like the lunatic is having an end to his presidency that he wasn't quite expecting. Anyway, episode 99, what about that, eh? And I'm just putting episode 100 together as we speak. And if you remember, I put a call out on Instagram as to which artist we should have for episode 100. And I did manage to get that person. And I think it's only right that that podcast goes out to our Patreon listeners first. So if you are one of those Patreon listeners, you should be able to listen to episode 100 around about the 21st of January. And then a few days later, I'll put it out for the riffraff. And if you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can find a link in the Instagram bio. Or you can go straight to Patreon, which is patreon.com/Ministry of Arts. And like I say, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can support this podcast. But anyway, back to episode number 99. This week we have Miss Amy Beager. And like Taya de la Cruz last week, Amy is pretty new into the art scene. Amy was selected as a winner for the Delphian Gallery Open Call in 2020 and only started exhibiting her work in London last year. Her painting, The Blue Room, was recently on display at the Saatchi Gallery as part of a group exhibition, Antisocial Isolation, curated by the Delphian Gallery. Amy's work was recently acquired by Soho House and has been placed in multiple private collections throughout Europe, Australia, USA, Taiwan and Canada. When I was researching Amy's work, I found a great quote by Offshoot Arts, which I'm going to quote here if they don't mind. They said, "On a wave of a surge in demand and reappreciation of figurative art, Amy Beager's paintings emerge as a fresh new voice within the genre." They went on to say, "The artist presents an imaginative and alternative reality, using human form as a vessel to explore emotions and hidden narratives throughout the dramatic use of colour and expressive lines." I couldn't have said it better myself, which is why I use parts of their quote. So please, come and join me when I chatted over Zoom with Miss Amy Beager. Have you listened to any podcasts, or do you listen to podcasts at all?
Yeah, so I started kind of listening to them during lockdown, really, because I got into sort of going for quite long walks, obviously when you can't really do much. And I started listening to the Delphian Gallery one. And then Artfully podcast. And then obviously the Delphian one, I listened to the Christmas special, and that's how I found out about your one. And then what's the other one? Art Proof.
So I've got seven questions that I ask each artist.
Yep.
The first being, how would you explain what you do to someone that didn't know your work?
Okay. So I would say that my work's mostly figurative painting, and it's sort of mainly around themes of beauty, love, kind of fashion. They're very colourful and I guess kind of minimalistic in a way. I think they've got kind of an abstract thing about them where I kind of really consider form and shape and colour proportion and like a visible brush strokes and things like that, which I think create like energy in an artwork. And I guess figures are like my main focal point, where I don't really put a lot of other details into a painting. So I quite often will paint details earlier on and then decide to maybe paint over them, or like, you know, if they're not needed for the painting or they don't look right or part of the composition, then I wouldn't leave them in, sort of thing. Yeah, I think love is kind of like the main theme that runs throughout all of my paintings. They're very like expressive. People sort of said they're very like emotional kind of paintings. So yeah.
The figures in there are quite sculptural as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess like my background is fashion, so I did fashion design. And I worked as a designer for about 7 years. So I've kind of got into sort of drawing the human face and body in like a fashion way, which I've kind of taken elements from, but also like lost some of that a bit. And I think I almost like want to not put all of the details in a face in. Like I'd rather put like the bits that matter, or like the emotional side, and I guess that comes from fashion illustration as well, because you're kind of creating a mood. And then my recent works have been inspired by like Greek sculptures and Greek mythology, and I think I used looking at Greek sculptures as a way of getting away a bit from fashion illustration and the sort of habits I've got into of drawing people's faces in like more of a fashion way rather than a realistic way. And Greek sculptures are obviously very like realistic interpretations of like the human form, so that I think really helped me then just channel the emotional side or the expressive side of a person's kind of personality through that.
Well, were you saying that you was in the fashion industry, would I be correct in thinking that painting was a hobby which eventually grew and grew, and then your work got in the way, as it were?
Yeah, so I've always, like, literally from as early as I can remember, I loved drawing. Like, it's always been my thing that I've just like loved to do. Like, there's photos of me, a lot of photos when I'm younger, I look really pissed off. Like, I had resting bitch face at like three. And my parents would always say, like, my sister's like, oh, she's the happy one. And then I'd be like really moody. But there's like pictures of me drawing, and I would just be like really concentrating. And I just like remember like loving it. And throughout school, I always loved art and did all of that. I did like art foundation. But as a girl, I suppose growing up in Essex as well, I was very like fashion conscious. Like, I love fashion as well. Like, I'd wear, my mum let me dress however I wanted. So I had these like purple platform suede boots when I was like 10 that I wore everywhere, with like checkered trousers and like a big Spice Girl bomber jacket and stuff. So I always loved fashion as well. So when I got to art college and did my foundation, they sort of tried to steer you into like a more sort of subject that's going to give you like a good career path, I suppose. And doing a fine art was kind of like seen as a pipe dream, I guess, for me, or like being an artist was kind of like a pipe dream. So I decided to do fashion design at uni. So yeah, I did that and it was great. And I learned so much because I didn't really have a clue about how to design clothes. It's kind of like sculpture in a way, where you're making something creative, but it's also got to be functional. So there's like restrictions, obviously. And I did some internships after uni and then got a job doing commercial fashion design. So I did like designing for ASOS and Topshop, places like that. And it was good. And like, I really enjoyed it to start with. It was like amazing to like be in a creative industry. And I felt really like it was hard to sort of get into that sort of side of things as well. I know art, being an artist, is hard as well. I think any creative industry is quite hard to sort of break into. And obviously you've got at the beginning a lot of working for free almost, doing internships and stuff. And then I was lucky enough to get this internship and then they offered me a job there. So I was working for them for about 7 years and it was really good. I got to travel quite a bit and I sort of worked my way up to almost heading up like the design team for it was like a supplier, so we had like an in-house design team that we would then sell clothing designs to, like ASOS, Topshop, those sort of people. And yeah, I did love it to a certain degree, but also I just felt like it wasn't sort of satisfying my true creative needs. And like, I always loved painting and drawing anyway, so I kind of like would do that as a hobby outside of working. And obviously with Instagram, that's like a really great sort of window or like opportunity into sharing your work with a lot of people, which obviously before Instagram, I don't know what people would have done. But
it does make you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I just started posting stuff on Instagram and then sort of really got into it, started following successful people that had sort of built their career starting through Instagram. And I thought, this is something that maybe I could actually achieve. Like, it started to feel like it could be a reality for me to maybe get into the art world and being an artist and stuff, as and to make a living from it. So I decided to quit my job in 2017. It was quite a bold move. Obviously, I'm quite a lucky position where my husband has a very good job. I had saved up money through working, obviously, for 7 years doing fashion. But I knew at the start I wasn't really going to be making a lot of money. And I had that kind of savings and like my husband's support to kind of like fall back on. And I just thought, if I don't try it, then I'm always going to regret it. So I thought, if I try it and it doesn't work out, or I don't like it, or I'm really not being successful, then I can just go back to doing fashion design. Like, I've still got those skills and kind of that, those contacts. And I was actually working still till 2018 doing freelance design work alongside doing my artwork. So yeah, I had that financial support as well. So yeah, I think it's been like a long kind of getting into it for me, like obviously having a career as a designer and then getting back into art. But it's literally like the happiest I've ever been. Like, I'm just like, I love it. Like, I just love painting and it's always been like something that I've wanted to do. But I think, as I said before, it just always felt like unachievable, or like, you know, when you say you want to be like a pop star, it was like that for me. Like, I was just like, oh, I really want to be an artist, but I just don't think it's like going to happen.
You started showing last year, didn't you?
Yeah, so I left my job in 2017 and I was kind of doing a lot of fashion illustration to start with, because that was kind of like my connect. I had connections in the fashion sort of industry, so I could kind of like do that fashion. I was doing fashion illustrations, and then I there was a magazine called the Bite magazine. They're just like a small fashion magazine. They put my illustrations in their magazine, and then I contacted them and was like, oh, can I come to Fashion Week with you and do some like live drawings and stuff? And they let me come with them, which was amazing. And yeah, just doing that backstage, drawing backstage and things like that. And I was really loving doing that sort of side, but then it still kind of wasn't quite what I wanted to do.
You hadn't quite made the leap or pushed
it. Yeah, it was like another stepping stone into doing like my own art and just like creating things that I wanted to do.
Sorry, it's as if you was working a bit too safe.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew that, yeah.
I think that's the thing, like I've just been cautious throughout my whole like progressing to this stage where I've been like, oh, like, I'll do this and this would be like a good experience and stepping stone and maybe that will get me here. But I definitely don't regret everything that I've done because it's like all led me up to this point and kind of given me the confidence as well and like knowledge in the creative industry and kind of like how things work. And, you know, I think back to how I was when I left uni, I was just like so had no confidence, you know, you're just like, what am I doing sort of thing. You just don't know what you're doing. And whereas once I'd worked for a good period of time, I feel like I had that confidence and drive and a bit of knowledge to like actually like be able to do something like good.
How come you ended up in Nottingham?
I guess like it was kind of through my sister because my sister's always been like my best friend. So she's only like a year and a half older than me. And we've grown up very close and she did art, like we used to like draw together all the time at weekends and stuff. We'd be like drawing cartoon characters and like my parents would put them up on the kitchen wall. And we had like this game where we used to draw ourselves, but like in like all the clothes that we wanted to wear. And then we'd draw our bedrooms with like how we'd want our bedrooms. And then we'd create these characters and like talk like to each other with them. This is a bit weird. But they're the sort of games we played. And like Holly, my sister, always was really good at drawing. She was actually probably better at drawing than me, like technically. Then like she did art and did art foundation and she went on to do fashion marketing at Nottingham. And I think I was sort of quite scared to go to uni. She was always kind of more confident than I was. She obviously went to uni and she was in her third year when I started in my first year. So I was like, I definitely want to try and go Nottingham as well because I feel like I've got that support there. And yeah, she like really supported me and still does. And yeah, I think, yeah, it's kind of to do with that really.
Playing it safe and going to uni. No,
I'm playing safe all the time.
There's a common thread going through.
Definitely.
Well, you started showing last year.
Yeah.
2020, you entered the Delphian Open.
Yeah.
Well, how did you feel when you decided to enter that? Because it's quite a thing that the guys have got going on there, isn't it?
Yeah, like I just found, I don't know how I found the Instagram page, but I came across it and I just thought, I was looking through their feed and I was like, wow, that's amazing. Wow, like I love all the artworks that they were showing. And I was like, this is like the sort of art that I want to be like doing and like involved with. So in 2019, I did my first solo show, which was, I just like did it all like kind of DIY, like just booked like a gallery space and just organized it myself. And then I did Roy's Art Fair. And after Roy's Art Fair, like I was showing more of my like fashion-y kind of drawings there. And even at my solo show, it was like the more fashion-y sort of drawings, apart from one painting that I did, which was called Blue Woman, which I loved that painting because when I did it, I feel like that was like so much better than my other work. And so, yeah, different, but it was more like what I wanted to kind of do. Yeah. And actually it was somebody that came to Roy's Art Fair that was like looking at my work. And I just had a conversation with him and he thought that it looked like Jane Mansfield, who he said died by being strangled. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And obviously the image is like of a woman laying down, like profile, with a sort of pool of paint running around her neck. That kind of, and then I spoke to an artist who was exhibiting opposite me and he said, oh no, it wasn't James Mansfield, it was Isadora Duncan. She was like an artist who died when she had like a scarf entangled in her car when she was driving. I was like, oh, wow. I was like, I didn't know that. So obviously I'd created this painting and that's what it triggered for somebody.
Yeah.
So, and then I was chatting to this artist. It was Max Gottlieb. And he was telling me about Isadora Duncan. And I was like, oh, that sounds like really interesting. And then I looked up her work and read her memoir. And she was just like so inspiring. And then that caused me to paint a series of paintings called Mother. And then obviously during that, I'd come across Delphian Gallery. I was like, well, I'm just going to enter my work. At the start, I was like, even if they share one of my pictures on their page, I'm going to be like so happy. And I remember saying to Adam, like when they shared one of my pictures, I was like, oh my God, Delphian Gallery shared my picture. And I was like super excited. And then they shared
any acknowledgement
like,
is fine.
Yeah, I was like, even them thinking it's good enough to like share on their page, I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then they shared like more of my work. And then Benjamin Murphy, he said, you know, you've got through. And I was like, oh my God, I was like so happy, like literally like dancing up and down. That was like amazing. And then since then, it's been like, I think I've managed to break into that sort of almost audience of like art lovers. Cause I think before with my Instagram, it was obviously you have art lovers, but a lot of them were more like maybe fashion or interiors kind of people like interested in art. But yeah, and then it just like led on to more things, I guess. So I definitely have a lot to thank Delphian Gallery for. Yes. And I really love what they're doing. So, yeah, I'm like a number one fan. Like,
yeah. So where are you going from here?
So
lockdown has got in the way, obviously.
I was booked in to do Rory's Art Fair again in April, and then that obviously got cancelled. Like, it was due, in April, and obviously lockdown sort of happened just before that. So that was cancelled. And like my plan this year was to kind of like really reach out to like do loads of open calls and try and get my work out there and like contact galleries and things like that and just try and exhibit and things like that. But obviously with COVID, exhibitions weren't really happening. So I was kind of like, what do I do now? And I sort of had all these paintings because I was planning to show them at Roy's and then show them in other sort of exhibitions and stuff. And I was like, well, I could just keep making like loads more paintings, but then there's like a space issue as well. So my studio is just like a room in our house, like a spare room. So I was like, I really need to just try and like just show these paintings online as much as I can. So I just did like a virtual gallery thing on my website. So I set up my paintings around my house and then photographed them, did like a video, and then kind of like had descriptions of my work and tried to give it that kind of immersive thing through so people could see my work in a context of like in their own houses and stuff. So I worked on that because that kept me busy for a few weeks. And then did that, and then the artist support pledge thing was amazing as well. So Matthew Burrows, who started that, which I just came across through Instagram again, like people you follow on there sort of hashtagging this artist support pledge, and I was like, oh, what's that? And got into set like then I was like, well, I still want to obviously be creating work because I missed obviously I'd been doing that online gallery thing. And I was like, well, I want to do more painting, but maybe just not large pieces, just smaller sort of works on paper that I can sell through Instagram. So Artist Support Pledge was amazing for that. So I was doing, just small works on paper and selling those. And then there was an online, like a virtual exhibition that I did with Boo Boo Studios.
Oh, yeah.
And they did like a virtual, it was like proper, like, do you remember like Doom? Like the video game. It like reminds me of that, like really old school, like 80s kind of like virtual reality gallery. And it was called Sinister Figures. So it was all kind of like quite macabre or like creepy kind of like figurative artworks. And yeah, they contacted me about putting my artwork in that, which was really cool because there was like Kim Dorland, Jesse Draxler, and like Rhiannon Stylesbury exhibiting, doing that. So I was like, oh, that'd be cool to like put my work in with those sort of people because they're like artists that I really admire. So that happened. And then there's been Blue Shop Cottage. So they did an open call for works on paper, which, yeah, I had four, well, I've got four works exhibiting with them online, which has also been amazing exposure. And yeah, I just love the sort of artworks that they select. Like there's been amazing opportunities that people have kind of created to help artists through lockdown and still kind of get their work out there in different ways. And there's been like people like Oki at Blue Shop Cottage and, you know, Delphine Gallery and Bluebee Studio and all the other ones that I obviously wasn't a part of. But like there's a lot of things out there that people have like really worked hard to make sure they can still kind of get artwork out there and keep it a thing, really, because it's like
it's been amazing during lockdown that galleries have had to adapt. We've had to adapt how we show and sell our work as has galleries. And sorry, I didn't put my phone so all of these opportunities have just come about just by, you know, someone come up with an idea of how to sell and then need other artists alongside to do it.
It's been really, really good actually.
You've had a bit of a fast year, haven't you, really?
Yeah, it has been quite a good year actually. Obviously with everything that's going on, there's been a lot of hard things to deal with, but for me personally it's been like great for my work. And obviously before, like I was saying, like my husband being at home, like working from home, it's been like actually quite nice.
Yeah, so nice.
The only thing I've missed is like going out to like bars and drinking with your friends and going to parties and stuff. So yeah, like our weekends are a bit boring.
When you mentioned about the work that you thought was the one that pulled you away from the old you, as it were, at Roy's, I've got a question here. Which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection?
I guess like that one has, in that way that it was kind of like a turning point. I kind of feel really connected to all of them, obviously. Yeah, I don't know. I think I always love the ones more that sell, because then like when they're sold, I'm like, I can't see it anymore. Then I'm like, oh, I really liked that one. I don't know, really. Yeah, my recent one that I've done, Desire is Desire, that one I really love. But that one sold, so maybe that's why I really like that one.
Do you find it hard to let go of them?
It's like a bittersweet thing, isn't it? Because obviously when you make a sale, you're like, oh, that's great, like, amazing. Like, obviously, like, making money out of art isn't, like, everything, but it also is a massive thing in that it helps you create more art, because if you don't make any money from it, then how can you continue to, like, do it as a job? So you're like, yes, that's amazing. And then you're like, oh, no, like, it's going to go away and I'm not going to be able to see it. It is hard sometimes, but it's like great that it's just amazing that somebody else loves it so much to pay to have it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird thought at the start when you think that someone you don't know has paid to have something of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, with friends and family and that, it's, you know, it's expected. But for a stranger to do it.
Yeah, and like something you've made, obviously, like, it's just come from you and you've created that. Sales are not down to solely on your own, but the work is, yeah, just something you've created. So, it's quite good. It's a really good.
To relax.
What do I do to relax? I'm quite into fitness, so I got into that as well when I actually was bridesmaid for my friend, and like a week before the wedding I couldn't do the dress up, and that was quite depressing. I went around my friends and I had her brother, and like she was holding the top of the dress like trying to do the zip up, and I was like, oh my god, I've really let myself go here. And I've kind of never been into exercise. And I was like, actually, it could be something quite good for me, because being on my own all day, like work as an artist, like you're just at home, you don't really speak to anybody. So I was like, if I join, it's like a gym, but they kind of do like classes and you kind of get to know everybody. That's like an hour out of my day where I can go and keep fit. It's good for like your mental health and like feeling motivated for the day. And also I can like see people and talk to people. Yeah. So, and it's like a cut off from art. It's just something that completely, like you kind of zone out and just do that. So yeah, go to the gym. And then, like I said before, going for walks and things, watching TV, Netflix, I guess. Going out with friends used to be a thing. It's not really much of a thing anymore, but
yeah, when you're able to do it again, I think everyone's going to drink the pubs dry, aren't they? Amy, if there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
Group show. Okay, I'd probably like, my two favourite artists are like Marlene Duma and Peter Doig. They're just amazing. So let's throw them in, I guess. Although I think I'd be like, oh, my work's going to look really shit compared to theirs. But yeah, that'd be awesome. And Isadora Duncan would be cool. And Frida, I guess, like she just seems like somebody that would be like awesome to get to know. I reckon she'd like a good drink and stuff. So that'd be quite fun. Janine Figgis, I love her work. Like she does these really cool, they're like almost marbled figurative paintings, and they're really like almost creepy and like humorous. Yeah, and they're like sort of 17th century kind of like, or style. They're really cool. Yeah, so her work's really good. So yeah,
you've started doing stuff with Soho House as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so Kate Bryan DM'd me on Instagram and about one of my artist support pledge pieces, and asked if it was available and stuff, and they've acquired that for Soho House. So that was like amazing as well. But even when she just messaged me again, like she was like, oh, your work, I've just come across your work, it's like wonderful or something, like glorious, I think she said. And I was like, oh my god, like she thinks my work's glorious. That's amazing. And then yeah, they've bought that one. It's called Gallery One. And then she also has bought a paint. So she's bought Desire is Desire for her own house.
Oh, nice.
She recently bought that. Obviously, I'll deliver it to her. And she was like, we can kind of do a unveiling and like have a chat and stuff. So that's also amazing that I'm going to meet her. So, yeah. I don't know whether she's sort of come across my work through, because I know she's bought work through Blue Shop Cottage before. So I wonder whether she sort of found my work through there. So it's like, that's where, you know, all these avenues can kind of lead you to other things, can't they? So, yeah.
It's good that sometimes connections are made without you even realising being aware of them.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, but I imagine that's how she found me.
As long as she found you, that's all that matters.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's been amazing as well. So looking forward to that.
What do you think you'd do if you wasn't an artist?
Well, I'd probably still be doing fashion design, obviously. But when I left, I was like, well, if I can't make any money, maybe I'll be like a dog walker on the side. So, and then I was like, oh, that would be awesome, just like hang around with dogs all day. Yeah. But my husband's allergic to dogs, but I love dogs. So I was like, oh, I'll do that, I think, if I can't make a lot of money. But yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, probably still be doing fashion design, or yeah, maybe be a nice dog walker. No worries, just looking after dogs all day.
Okay. Well, have you got anything coming up, Amy?
I've been asked to do a residency next year. Oh, nice. In or just outside of Amsterdam, and that's hopefully going to go ahead in May. But obviously, with everything that's going on, it's still like, let's just kind of wait and see. But hopefully. Yeah, really looking forward to that.
That's pretty cool. Is it, how long is that for?
Only 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, that's all right. It's a small holiday then, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because I think they've got a roster of a few different artists. So I think Benjamin Murphy's doing it. Tracy Slater. They're all like people, obviously Benjamin Murphy's Delphine Gallery. Tracy Slater was another winner of the open call with Delphine Gallery. So yeah, they're all those sort of artists that I've kind of come across through that.
Now these things are happening and you're seeing art things happening to you before you, do you now feel like you're an artist?
Yeah, I feel like it's funny one because that's something that people always sort of say, don't they? They're like, oh, well, they'll say I'm like an amateur artist or I'm a professional artist now. But I think that where's that line? Because surely, like, if you make art, then you're an artist. Like, I actually didn't have much trouble transitioning from when I was doing fashion design. As soon as I sort of started doing this, I was like, yeah, I'm an artist, yeah. Like, that's what I was.
And did you feel comfortable calling yourself an artist from the off?
Well, not necessarily comfortable, but I think I was just like, yeah, I think it's like having the confidence to say, to believe in yourself almost. Because I think if you're like apprehensive about calling yourself something, it's just, you're just not confident in your ability. Yeah. Like, there's loads of artists that still have like another job, like they're still artists.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't, like, I wouldn't necessarily differentiate them from somebody that's still that doing art full-time sort of thing. So, yeah. Sorry, my cat's just, like, playing with him. He doesn't normally come in here, so he's, like, exploring.
Well, this is the third podcast in a row where cats have made themselves known in it. Where can people see your work, be it website or social media?
Yes, so my website's just amybeager.com and my Instagram's amybeager. That's it, really.
Well, Amy, that's all my questions asked.
T.A. Yeah.
And you, thank you very much for your time.
Cool. All right, bye. See you later,
darling.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, there you go. Amy Beager. How was that? Great, eh? Well, Amy's definitely made a mark for herself in the short time that she's become an artist. She's making the game look easy. Bloody annoying, isn't it? We mentioned the Delphian Gallery quite a bit in this podcast, and I should mention that the Delphian Gallery are still selling their book, Navigating the Art World, Professional Practice for Early Career Artists. And when I meet up with these artists on Zoom, before we start recording, we always have a little chat. And so many of them have mentioned the Delphian Gallery's book. And I should say, this isn't an advert, I'm just mentioning it in support. So head on over to Delphian Gallery's Instagram page, and get yourself a copy if you haven't already got one. Well, again, as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, we're edging ever closer to episode 100, which I will be putting up on the Patreon site a few days before it comes out on the normal podcast listening platforms. So if you'd like to be one of the first to hear that special edition, jump over there yourself. But if you're not able to support the podcast via Patreon, what you can do is, whichever platform you listen to this podcast, you should be able to leave a comment. If you could do that, that really would help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. So, thanks for listening. Keep wearing a mask. And until next week, ta-da.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.